You're listening to the Rev Ministries Podcast. This podcast is taken from the Rev Landon Schott sermons from his home church and travels around the world. For more resources or information, please check out our website at therev.com or check out our iTunes store.
Mark chapter 9, beginning in verse 17. It'll be up on your screen. You could turn on your Bible. You there, say amen. Says, a man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of his speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. You unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought the boy to him. When the spirit saw Jesus, immediately it threw the boy into convulsions. He fell onto the ground, rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity and help us." "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for those who believe." Say believes. Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe." I love this text. "Help me overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw the crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you to come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit shrieked, convulsed, and violently came out. The boy looked like as much as a corpse that many said he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not drive it out?" He replied, "This only come out through prayer and fasting." The title of this message this evening is The Empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. So Lord, we love you. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you into this place. We sang tonight, when you walk into the room, everything changes. So Holy Spirit, we say, have your way in this place. Father, we declare right now that your word is the highest authority in our lives. I pray that you would give us ears to hear what your spirit is saying, hearts to receive it, minds to understand. Holy Spirit, we declare, have your way in this place. We love you, Holy Spirit. We declare, speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. And everybody said, amen and amen. I love the Holy Spirit. Teaching on the Holy Spirit is my favorite topic. Pastor Chris mentioned how passionate I am about it. And the reason I'm so passionate about it is because your relationship with the Lord grows with the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. I love in life, my favorite thing in life is when I hear the Holy Spirit. And not a lot of people realize that the Holy Spirit is talking to them all the time. And the reason why they don't realize it, or so many people have a hard time hearing from God, is because they don't realize that when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, it sounds like you. You say, why does it sound like me? Because the Holy Spirit speaks to your spirit, and your spirit informs you of what the Holy Spirit said. So I tell young people this all the time. It's really easy to start hearing from God. You just do the opposite of what demonic voices tell you to do. It's easy to recognize your voice. You know your voice better than anybody. You know your voice of doubt. You know your voice of fear. You know your voice of insecurity. You know what you sound like. You've grown up with you. I love the old shows that have a little kid, but it's a grown-up's voice. And it's funny because no matter how old you get, your voice sounds the same because you know you. You know the enemy's voice. The enemy's voice is always laced in fear. It's always laced in confusion. It's always laced with that accusatory. You know when the enemy's speaking to you because it always contradicts the spirit. The enemy never tells you to give generously. The enemy never tells you to step out in faith. The enemy never tells you to start talking about the Lord. You ever notice that your flesh never tries to keep you from prayer and fasting? Your flesh is always trying to keep you from the things of God. That's how you know the difference between your voice, the enemy's voice, and the voice of the Holy Spirit. I was getting my hair cut tonight. I got this little fresh hard part. And so I was down the road at the barber, and the dude was all tatted up, and every other word was a curse word. And I'm sitting there. We're just talking about his business. And he's like, well, what do you do? I said, I'm a preacher. I said, that's why I need a fresh hard part. I'm going to preach tonight. I need to look good. And he said, you're a preacher. He goes, you don't look like a preacher. I said, well, I guess that's a good thing. He goes, are you all tatted up? I was like, no, but everyone in my church is. He's like, that's cool, man. He's like, I guess I should stop swearing about you. I was like, well, he said, I guess I should stop swearing around you. I was like, well, don't be two-faced. He's like, you're all right, preacher, you're all right. About to leave, and I feel a prompting in my spirit to give him more than what he asked for cutting my hair. And so I just felt that nudge. And you know what? You know it's the Lord, because you never tell yourself to give away money. And so I did that, and I'm about to leave, and I feel that prompting. What I mean prompting? I feel that nudge of the Holy Spirit, that little push from the inside. And then I hear that voice, go pray for him. But I'm running late, and I'm in a hurry. I always notice that the Holy Spirit always talks to me when I'm in a hurry. But he never talks to me when I sit down. I'm like, all right, let's talk. I got all night. Talk about whatever you want. Cricket, cricket, cricket. But when I'm in a hurry, he wants to talk. And so I'm running to church, and I just feel that nudge, pray for him. And then there's that weird thing, you know, I've already, you know, no, is that me, is that you? No, you're not, the enemy's not telling you to pray for people. You don't tell yourself to pray for people. That's a nudging of the Holy Spirit. That's the voice of God. I just say, hey, bro, can I pray for you? He's like, yeah. And so I just started praying on him, praying God would bless him, praying God would encounter him, praying God that would reveal himself to him. I'm like, see you later. He goes, that made my day. But watch, Landon didn't make his day. Landon was in a hurry. I would have been down the road. But watch, the Holy Spirit spoke to my spirit to minister to him. Watch, that is what the empowerment of the Holy Spirit is, to empower the church to be the church. That you're going to be sitting at a holiday get-together or gathering, and you'll feel that prompting of the Holy Spirit to say something, that prompting of the Holy Spirit to love on someone that no one else is loving on, to show mercy to someone that no one else is showing mercy to be the church. Can I get an amen? Amen. I love the Holy Spirit, but unfortunately, not many people do. Because no personage of the Trinity is resisted like the Holy Spirit. And nothing in all Christianity is as resisted as much as speaking in tongues. I'm jumping around my sermon, but that's okay. In the book of Acts, Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, wait for the gift that I promised you. He said, it's the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit is the gift of Jesus, the gift of the Spirit of God. Have you ever given a gift to somebody and you're really excited about giving to them and they just kind of threw it aside? They weren't thankful for it. They didn't even respond to it. And you, with all of your heart, wanted to bless them, and they treated it flippant. Anyone ever been in those situations where they didn't receive what you tried to give them? Could you imagine how God feels when his church rejects his spirit and the gifts of his spirit? I'm telling you, there is nothing in Christianity that is rejected more than the move of the Holy Spirit. I love the Holy Spirit. So I asked the Holy Spirit what to minister. And I went for a run yesterday morning. I like to pray when I'm running. And the reason why is there's something about being physically tired, you're a little more spiritually alert. And so I'm on my run, and I'm getting about the mile point. There's something, I don't know what it is, but there's something about when you hit a mile, all of a sudden I just start hearing a little better. And I got my worship music in, and I'm praying, and I literally said, Holy Spirit, what is your heart for your people tomorrow night? I call it leaning in. And the moment I asked him, up in my spirit came Acts 9. What do I mean up in my spirit? I mean, I asked him to speak to me, and the next thing that went through my head was Mark chapter 9. And in Mark chapter 9, it's the story of the disciples that try to cast out a spirit, but they couldn't do it. They tried to cast out a demon, an impure spirit, out of a young boy, but they could not do it. I believe that this is type and shadow of the church today. That people have said, I need deliverance. I need healing. I need to be set free. And they've gone to churches, but they haven't found the power or the empowerment to get free. So instead of being delivered from things, instead of walking in freedom, they start naming it. Well, I just struggle with anxiety. I just struggle with fear. I'm just a depressed person. I'm just naming these things that come after me, and I've decided that I'm going to coexist with them instead of walking in freedom and deliverance and the power of the Holy Spirit. I was going through Mark chapter 9, and I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me. What do I mean by the Holy Spirit speaks to me? It comes quicker and faster than you can think. And I heard the Holy Spirit just say this. He said, look at it again. So I went back and I looked at it again. And I've preached from this text many times. But what I love about a relationship with the Holy Spirit is you can read a text 100 times. And when the Holy Spirit kisses it, all of a sudden it comes alive again. That's why the Bible says his mercies are new every morning. Do you know why I've served the Lord my entire life? Do you know why a relationship with Jesus never gets old? It's because he gave us his Spirit, the beautiful Holy Spirit that makes it come alive every single day. I remember I met some girl in the foyer about a year ago, and her friend introduced me to her and said, hey, she just gave her life to the Lord last night. She's here at church on Sunday. I looked her in the face and I said, get ready for an adventure. Amen. Because when you begin a relationship with Jesus and his Holy Spirit, his Spirit, it's an adventure. And it's the craziest, most awesome, exciting adventure you could ever go on in your entire life. And what I love about God's word is it's alive. Every other book is dead. Every other book is dormant, but God's word is alive. When the Spirit of God breathes upon the Logos word of God, the written word of God, it becomes rhema or life. Watch this. The Holy Spirit said, look again. Say, look again. And I went back and I looked at the first part of that text. In Mark chapter 9, throw up verse 14, please. It says, when they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them, and the teachers of the law were arguing with them. As soon as the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to meet him. Jesus said, watch this, what are you arguing about? Now, I've preached from this text so many times, and I think this is just a normal thing. I don't know if it's a bad thing, but this part you just skip over. Because what's the cool part? The cool part is there's a demon that throws a kid to the ground. The disciples can't cast it out. Jesus comes and push out, and it's out. That's the cool part of the story. But I went back and I looked at this, and it said this, that the beginning of this story was a group of religious people arguing. And I heard the Holy Spirit say this. This was a religious spirit. I want to talk to you tonight about how religious spirits resist the Holy Spirit. They were arguing. How do you recognize a religious spirit? Number one, if you're taking notes, a religious spirit is an argumentative spirit, or it's an accusatory spirit, or it's the spirit that rests on Facebook. I'm joking, but seriously. It's an argumentative spirit. How do you know it's not the Holy Spirit? Because the Bible says in 2 Timothy, remind everyone of these things, command them in God's presence to stop fighting over words. Such arguments are useless. But you spent all night going back and forth with that person. Watch this. And they can ruin those that hear it. Do you know when you argue with religious people or religious spirits that operate in people, you damage other people that are looking in? You damage other people that are young in their faith. This is a foul spirit. It's an accusatory spirit. This is the spirit that tells people you're not going to heaven because you weren't baptized right. You were baptized in the name of Abba and not the Father, and they didn't capitalize the F of Father on your baptism certificate. You're not even going to heaven. I remember I had this lady come to me, and she was weeping. She's like, I'm not going to heaven. She's like, Landon, would you baptize me again? I'm like, we baptized you last week. She goes, but it was in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We didn't even say Jesus. I love, and people make entire doctrines around this. You know, I wonder, was the thief on the cross baptized? Jesus says, hey, you'll be in me in paradise. Just kidding, you weren't baptized. Man, you almost had it. So close. No mercy for you, right? But it's a confusing spirit. Religious spirits are always laced in witchcraft. How do you know when it's witchcraft? Anytime someone's using the Bible to hurt people, it's witchcraft. I write about it in my Jezebel book. They use scripture to hurt people. Now, don't get me wrong. It's a double-edged sword, and that joker will cut you. But it's a good cut. When doctors cut you, they cut you to help you. They cut you to get out infection. But somebody else can cut you, and that's not a help you cut you. That's a hurt you cut you. That's make you limp for months, cut you. How many know what I'm talking about? The Word of God brings life. The Word of God brings healing. The Word of God brings hope. A religious spirit brings judgment. Well, you're going to hell. Well, how do you know? Come on, somebody. Well, they're evil. This is wrong, and you can't do this, and you can't do that. It's just a religious spirit. I love the fact that the guy in the barber chair doesn't know that I'm a preacher. I told him, I said, bro, I got holy jeans on. But I've had people on social media talk about my jeans. You wear jeans. I'm like, bro, Jesus wore a dress. Chill. It's not a dress, but you know what I mean. But it's an accusatory spirit. Satan tried to use scripture to manipulate Jesus. How many know that doesn't work too well? It tries to come accusing and argumentative. The Bible calls the enemy the accuser of the brethren. What does the accuser sound like? You can't minister. This is your past. You were this. You used to be that. You still do this. If they only knew who you really are, if they only knew, if the people in your small group knew who you were behind the scenes, then they wouldn't love you. They wouldn't accept you. You're just a fake. You're just a hypocrite. It's just an accusing spirit. And I got good news for you. You're not the only one he accuses. The Bible says that he accuses day and night, but every time he accuses, our advocate Jesus throws it down. Recognizing religious spirits. Number one, it's an accusatory spirit, argumentative spirit. Number two, a religious spirit is the thief of intimacy. Look at this in the text. Mark 9, a man in the crowd answered, teacher, I brought you my son who was possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of his speech. This foul religious spirit robbed the boy of his communication or his ability to be in relationship. A religious spirit always tries to steal the intimacy you have with God. It tries to keep you on in the outer courts. If you didn't hear Pastor Daniel's sermon on the temple, go on the podcast, go online and go listen to it about the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies. And Jesus separated, or Jesus became the mercy seat and tore the temple curtain from top to bottom, giving access or what? Giving relationship to everyone. Because the blood of Jesus, because his atonement blood, he has brought all of us into relationship with him and the Holy Spirit. But a religious spirit says you can't have intimacy. You can't have access. You can't talk to God. You can't communicate to God. He doesn't talk to people anymore. That died with the apostles. He doesn't fill people with the Spirit anymore. That was in the New Testament. And it didn't carry through any longer. It always tries to destroy your intimacy. Third thing a religious spirit does. Watch this. And you know it's a religious spirit. Because it resists the Holy Spirit. Religious spirits always resist a move of the Lord. Religious spirits always resist a move of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it's the day of Pentecost, Pentecost being the 50th day. All the disciples were together in unity, and the Bible says that tongues of fire came and rested upon them, and they were filled with the Spirit. And just like today, when something happens or when God moves in a way that we're not familiar with, they made fun of them. They mocked them. They said they're drunk. But watch, Peter came and said, no, 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 they're not drunk. He said, this is what the prophet Joel spoke about when he said, I will pour out my Spirit on all men. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Now watch. When you're talking about the Holy Spirit, the two words that are two elements that describe the Holy Spirit is water pouring out the Spirit and the fire of God that rests on them. It's water and fire. Are you with me? So look back at Acts chapter 9. Jesus said, how long has the boy been like this? From childhood, he answered. It has often thrown him into the fire in the water. I was sitting in our hammock, and I turned to my wife and I said, something's here. Something is here. And that's why I love God's word so much. I'm almost more excited to hear it for myself than I am to share it with you. And I said, something's here. And I said, I don't know what it is, but I know he's gonna speak to me. And I'm outside and I'm studying, and all of a sudden I just have a picture that goes through my mind, and I saw the Lord speaking to me as I was laying next to my son. And all of a sudden, I heard him cry. He wasn't taking a nap. I got a 3-year-old. He's probably terrorizing the nursery right now. And I heard him fuss. And so I went up to his bedroom. Jazz, if you want to come get on your guitar, come join me. And he said this. He said, Dad, cussle with me. That means cuddle. And so I laid down next to him, started cuddling with him, holding on to my son. And I heard the Holy Spirit say this. He said, he threw him in the fire, in the water, or gave him a bad experience with fire and water so that he wouldn't want to go near it again. Jeez. So many people have bad experiences with religious spirits that they never want to go near it again. And so they say, I don't want to go near a church that speaks in tongues. I don't want to go near a church that prophesies. I don't want to go near a church that is spirit-filled. I just want to go to a safe church where people are sane, where nobody's going to give me a prophesy. Come on, somebody. Nobody's going to try to use God said to hurt me. No one's going to try to use God's word to come against me. And I believe that this is the state of the church. That because we've had these experiences, bad experiences, with the fire of God, or the outpouring of the Spirit, or fake fires of God, or fake outpourings, we say, hey, I just want nothing to do with it. I just love Jesus. I love God. I get them. I'm good. The epitome of religion is resisting the Holy Spirit. I just heard the Holy Spirit talk to me right now. Listen, he just said this to me. It's not in my notes. The purpose of the religious spirit is to get you to resist the Holy Spirit. So watch, he wins. The foul spirit won. And the disciples came and they tried to cast it out, but they couldn't do it. Because that foul religious spirit was a stronghold for many years. Listen, I love this. The disciples went back to him and they said to Jesus, why couldn't we drive it out? Have you ever been frustrated because you tried to pray, you tried to believe, and it didn't happen?
was preparing this sermon, I heard in my spirit that if the disciples walked with Jesus, if the disciples can walk with Jesus but not have the power to cast out devils, then so can you walk with Jesus. Do you know why they couldn't cast it out? They hadn't been empowered yet. Acts chapter 2. Put it up on the screen. The day of Pentecost came. Watch. Oh. And they didn't resist the fire. They didn't resist the Spirit of God. They said, no, this is the fire. This is the outpouring that the prophet Joel, this is the gift that Jesus had for us. He said to wait for it. He said, don't move on without it. That we needed this empowerment. Our family needs this empowerment. Our church needs this empowerment. Our workplace needs this empowerment. We can't make it without the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that at that moment, that God poured out His Spirit. Now, you know what I love? I love God's Word. From a biblical perspective, there was never a demon, a devil, or a spirit that a true disciple of Jesus ever encountered that they couldn't cast out ever again. They just needed to be empowered. I'm going to read one more text. Just kidding, two more. And we're done. Acts 19, it's up on the screens. Please look there. This is so important. So I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me for you tonight. Paul is traveling. He runs into some disciples. Watch, he said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They said this, no. We haven't even heard about the Holy Spirit. Translation, our church has never mentioned the Holy Spirit. Nobody talks about it. In fact, they kind of cringe and poke fun when we talk about the Holy Spirit. They kind of be careful around those guys. Maybe you've had a bad experience with fire. Maybe you've had a bad experience with the Holy Spirit's outpouring. Jesus said that, or Paul said this, you haven't heard about it. Watch, when you believed. Just because you believe in Jesus doesn't mean you're spirit-filled. These were disciples of Jesus. But here's what they said. Paul laid his hands on them. And it said the Holy Spirit came upon them. And he spoke in other tongues and they prophesied. Here's what I felt in my spirit. This is why I share this scripture with you. Just because you believed before and it didn't happen before doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Empowerment is a process. It's a process. Here's what I heard. The Holy Spirit speak to me. There's individuals in this room that a religious experience has caused you to fear the Holy Spirit's fire and His water. I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me and say, some of them are still going through bad experiences. Isaiah 43:2 says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. The flame shall not consume you. I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me in my living room last night at 10:30 at night. And He said, I am going to heal them. Then I'm going to empower them. Bow your heads and close your eyes all over this place. There's individuals that you have been hurt in church. You've been hurt by a spirit of religion. you've been hurt by people who claim that they're men of God or women of God. Maybe they've tried to say things to hurt you. Maybe they've lied about you. Maybe they try to use God's word to destroy you. Or maybe they've come against you. Maybe they've ostracized you. I don't know what you've been through, but I felt in my spirit that individuals in this room, you have resisted the fire of God. You have resisted the water of God, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, because of bad experiences with a fake fire and a fake water. And I want to let you know tonight, I heard the Lord say, I am going to heal them. Church, I don't know about you, but I've been hurt in church. I've been betrayed by Christians. I've been lied about. I've had people come against me. But the Holy Spirit has always kept me.
Minister, right now, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and minister. Holy Spirit, I ask you to do what only you can do. And come and minister to hearts. I'm going to ask everyone in this place to stand to their feet. If you feel comfortable, close your eyes. Not that it's biblical, but it creates a quiet place, a secret place. A religious spirit is accusatory. A religious spirit breaks intimacy, and a religious spirit resists the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray right now that every accusatory lie, every argumentative lie over your people would be broken. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus. Father, the intimacy that's been broken or destroyed or limited, I pray, Father, that your word says as we draw near to you, you're drawing near to us. I pray, Father, for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I pray for a fresh touch tonight. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but here's what I felt in my spirit, that as you stepped out in faith to receive healing, that God was going to heal you. Again, I don't mean embarrass anyone. I would say this, I have been so hurt in church. I have been hurt by Christians. But I've been healed by the Holy Spirit. A spiritual father came and laid hands on me. His name was John Paul Jackson. I was broken inside. And he said, Lord, I release healing into Landon. And I'm telling you, something hit me, and that something was the Holy Spirit. Just begin to play that song, Fill Me Up, guys. And what I heard was that same healing that came to me tonight is coming to you. Sitting in my chair last night, praying for you, interceding for you, I saw people walking down to the aisle. And the moment you stepped out in the aisle, I saw right now that snowball of healing begin to happen in your life. Tonight is a night of healing. It's a breakthrough service. And tonight is a night of breakthrough. That you're not leaving the same. You're not leaving with the same wounds. You're not leaving with the same pains. You're not leaving the same. Tonight, the Holy Spirit first wants to heal you. If you say there's an area in my life, Landon, that I've had bad experiences with fire and water. I've had bad experiences in church. I've had bad experiences with Christians. And I want healing. My mind, my heart, my soul. If that's you, I want to encourage you right now, get out of your seat. Just come down to this altar right now. Meet me at this altar. And I'm telling you right now, I was one of you. Don't be afraid. Don't be embarrassed. There's more. If there's a nervousness right now on you, if your heart's beating right now, remember I told you there's a voice of the Holy Spirit, there's a voice of the enemy, and there's a voice of you. Don't listen to the enemy's voice right now. Don't listen to your voice. Listen to that prompting. Remember I told you I was nudged in the barbershop tonight. If the Lord is nudging you, come down. If you're at this altar, lift your hands. I could feel it. There's more. There's more.
there's more. Remember, the purpose of a religious spirit is to get you to resist the Holy Spirit. Here's what I feel right now in my spirit. If you've been resisting the Holy Spirit, if you've said, no, I don't want that. I want Jesus. I want God. But I don't want any of that other stuff. And tonight you feel a conviction. You feel a compelling. If you say, Landon, I want a relationship with the Holy Spirit. I want a closeness. Listen, I'm not saying come down here and speak in tongues. I'm saying come down here and begin to engage with God like you've never engaged with God before. If you desire that, come out of your seat right now and come to this altar. Come on, if you say, I want more of God.
Thank you for listening to the Rev Ministries podcast. If this message has blessed you, we want to encourage you to share it with a friend. For more information about this ministry and how you can make a difference by financially supporting us, please visit our website at therev.com. For full-length sermons and episodes on audio or video, please visit us at therev.com or search for us on iTunes.